when I am down. You lift me up, you take away my pain with a drink of your cup of mercy and grace. When times are tough, you're all I need. When times are good, I give you praise. Oh, I lift my hands to the one who raised this old sinful man from a life so low. Oh, I know you are my here at the end, I'll walk in your footsteps. Higher each day till I reach the doorstep of heaven someday. When we're caught away, oh, how I pray. And on that day, when I finally see you, and I get to stay. Once more you're here. You are my God, and I love to serve you. Not because I must, but because I want to. You are my friend. Many times you have proved you are my life. Jesus, I love you, and you are my
seated. Good to be back. As Brother Daniel was saying, we had a wonderful time. We're very blessed, and we thank the Lord for traveling grace and both going and coming, and for the wonderful time that we had. And it was just good all around. That's just all there is to it. And he's right. We're blessed to be able to have that ability in this assembly. Probably not very many churches have the ability to get together like that, and so we certainly are blessed, and I just want to thank the Lord for allowing us that time of refreshing, and though it takes a lot of energy to walk up and down all those stairs and walk through the sand and all that sort of thing, I actually feel a whole lot better now than I did before I went, so so I thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Amen. I had a sinus infection the week before we went, and even while I was there, I had to deal with it quite a bit, a lot of coughing and things like that, but God is still good, so we thank him for that. Today is Mother's Day, amen, and so I'm not much of one for speaking on topics of a certain day, but today I'm going to do that because I wanted to just kind of pull from the scriptures and from the message some of the things that we need to remember, both mothers and children and everybody else, So we want to talk about Mother's Day today, but I just want to give honor to all of our sisters now. God bless you. And we thank the Lord for each one of you and for what you have to go through in order to take the stand that you stand for righteousness and holiness, and to try and instill those things into your children and have a home that we believe is pleasing to the Lord. So we just want to thank the Lord for the gift of mother that he has put among us. We'll talk about that today. So let's open our Bibles, and we're going to read out of Proverbs 31. Begin reading at verse 10. Verse 10 through 31. I know we're familiar with these scriptures. I probably won't say anything today that you haven't heard, but we want to put things in perspective, and so we can certainly do that this morning. Proverbs 31, 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I mean, brothers can say amen to that. I can. Amen.
Yes.
The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and the portions to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. You know, that's where the judges are, right? Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children ariseth up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. That's quite a group of scriptures there. I think it does a good job of describing the virtues of a godly woman. So let's bow our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning, Lord, that you have provided for us this time again to be in your house and with those that we love and that believe the same glorious message that you've given us in this day. What a blessing it is to be together. And so, Lord, we just want to give our thanks to you. And, Lord, today as we speak about the gift of mothers that you have placed among us, Lord, we want to thank you for mothers. Thank you for the gift that they have in them to be what they are. And Lord, this morning as we begin to speak about these things, we ask, Lord, that you would just, with your great Holy Spirit, get into the word, Lord, and that you would inspire us, Lord, that our sisters would go away today encouraged, and Lord, that you would just be pleased to dwell among us in this service this morning. We give this entire time to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. So we see a lot in the scriptures there about a virtuous woman, and the scripture said, who can find one? And I would say if that would be what would be said back then, I'm sure it would be said even more so nowadays, who can find a virtuous woman. But I believe that there are several sitting here in this assembly today among us. Amen. And so that's not by chance. That's because of the Word of God and what God has done in the midst of the lives of our families and our sisters. And so we want to thank the Lord for that. God puts a lot of emphasis on mothers. And, you know, Brother Branham, I say this a lot of times because we have a prophet that gives us an advantage to see things and look through the eyes of God and see things in the right perspective, because this world is not going to give you the right perspective on these things. And so we're so blessed to have a prophet, and we need to always remember that if you're given the opportunity to look through the eyes of a prophet or use your own thinking or the society that you live in, you'd be best if you'd throw away what society says, throw away what you would think, and look through the eyes of a prophet and try to allow the Holy Spirit to change you so that you begin to think the way God thinks, and you'll see the way He sees you. And if that's the case, then you will look at mothers and you will understand the great gift that God has placed among us. And so when Brother Branham came along and he said the greatest thing that God could give a man outside of salvation, the greatest, nothing else, the greatest thing that he could give a man outside of salvation is a good wife. So, but a bad one be like water in his blood and water down his lifeline. And we've seen it. We see the effects of a good, godly wife, and we see what they can do, and they can make a man. Yeah. But you can see the wickedness of a woman who's not virtuous, and she can absolutely destroy a man's life forever.
Right.
For his entire time on this earth, his life will never be any good, all because of one woman who's not got virtue. And so God puts a great emphasis on her. She is more of a target to set for Satan, because, you know, life comes from her womb, right? And so, you know, I've said this many times, a man, he just, you know, when he gives forth his own seed, that's him. It can't be defiled. It's him. But she has a choice. She has a choice of what she can receive into her and what she's going to bring forth. And so that's why Satan's got his target on her, because he wants to take that womb that should be the womb of your heart, that should be for God. He wants to fill it with false teaching, false doctrine. And in that in the spiritual, but in the natural, he wants you to defile you physically. And so Brother Branham said, and I think I read this here a while back, but I quote it many times, he said that a woman that holds her virtues, how much greater reward she'll have than a man will, because of what Satan and what it's all about. And so the best thing, and she's a type of the church. Remember that. She's a type of the church. So look at the gospel, and Jesus Christ is perfect. The Word is perfect,
right?
But then there's the church that's supposed to honor Him and always obey Him. And that church that goes off on some tangent, that gets away from truth, look what kind of children they produce.
Yeah.
And look what that does to the gospel. But look at a church that stays true to Scriptures, true to the Holy Spirit, and watch what happens amidst that people. So you see the types and shadows there of that. So Brother Branham says she's the greatest thing that God could ever give a man. And so there you are. Put everything away, what you might think, and realize, brothers, the best thing that's ever happened in your life is your godly wife.
Yeah.
Other than salvation, is your godly wife. And so I think that's how that God in this day would allow us to put these things in the proper perspective. We find out in the Scriptures that Adam needed a helpmeet. And you remember, what was taking place in the garden was actually a replay of what God had in heaven. God needed fellowship. He needed a helpmate. And so it played out on earth when he put Adam on earth. Adam was lonely. Adam was not complete without her. And so she was the answer to that loneliness. She was the answer to that lacking there. And so she was the helpmeet. And I don't know, you can think of all kinds of different ways, but there was something man needed, and she was going to help him meet that need.
Yeah.
I think that would be one reason why he calls him to help me, to help get done what needs to be done. Yeah. And no matter how great a man is, no matter how rich he is, how fertile he is, without her, he's nothing.
Yeah.
Now think about that. That's a big statement. We know that God is great, and he can exist without us if he wants to, but he made his plan so that he's not going to exist without us.
Right.
He made it so that we have to be here, and we have to be that one. And so we see from that he's not complete without us. And And so that he was lonely and would desire and would go forth and go through the process so that he might provide for himself a wife that could come to him and meet those needs. And so she is the helpmeet. She helps him get done what he couldn't do without her.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
So God uses her in that way, has placed her here on the earth in that way. And God uses her, as far as you children are concerned, God uses her to process us into this world. Every one of us come into this world by a mother.
Yep.
And so you may say, well, I'm predestinated from God. That's right. You hold a predestinated position in God's mind. But the way you come into being and come into action to where you became a living manifestation of what God had in his mind was through mommy. Amen? Right. Through marriage. And so God used her to process each one of us into this world and to be what he would call us to be through her. Now, in doing that, God has given her special gifts and special traits that men don't have. And you can say it the other way around. Men have traits that she doesn't have, but since today's Mother's Day, not Father's Day, we're going to talk about mothers. But she has special traits that a man doesn't have. And so we're going to read some quotes here this morning, if it's okay with you. Brother Branham's talking in a message called Mother's Day. He said, Mother is so great. He said, you know, the first one that receives you in this life is your mother. No one can touch you because you're conceived and she bears you under her heart. You're conceived in her womb and there you are and nobody can touch her, but she's already having influence on you before anybody else gets to you. That's what he's saying. And she's the first one to know you and the first two in this life to hold you. Then when you're born, she's the first one of the first ones to hold you and touch you. And she wipes away the tears out of your eyes. She's the first one to pat you and to love you and to coo over you in this life. That's your mother. Now, I think that there is not enough honor that we could give to a mother. Mother is the first with the child, and that she's a great responsibility of what that child will be. It'll be based upon the way the mother starts that child on the pathway that it must travel. Mothers has the responsibility from God to place that child on the right road, and I think that that's why mothers has a special little touch. You see, a child listens to its mother. Some little touch about the mother that the child will listen to, and when it gets hurt, it will go to the mother for consolation before it'll go to the father. Because she was first with it, you know. And there's some gift that God gives a mother to be that way. And I mean real mother. And I believe that mothers are honorable and godly. Amen? So you have a special little gift there that God gives you. And I always said this, you know, a man can't be out in the field plowing the field and be back taking care of babies at the same time. He can't be. And he can't run back and forth all the time if he was called. He's called to do one thing, she's called to do another. And so she has these little special touches. And I'm glad that mommies have a tender spirit and not real rough and gruff like dad is. And I know in my household, I'm a lot firmer than my wife is. When my kids get out of the way and wrong, I'm more likely to be harsh to them than she is. And that's just the way it is. And that's probably the way it is in most homes. But that's how it is. I'm a different makeup. And she's a different makeup than I am. But together, the scripture says, together we are heirs to the grace of life.
Yeah.
Amen? And so it takes the masculine and the roughness of the dad, because there's a place for that and it needs to be there. But then there's a need and a place for the touch, the tender touch of a mother and the love of a mother that a dad cannot give. So I don't care what they say today in the world. It don't make a bit of difference what they want to say about how that you can raise a home in God's economy. It's meant to have a father and a mother raising those children. And anything short of God's perfect plan is just not good at all. And so we know that to be so. We thank the Lord for what he's done. So Brother Ben says she has a special little touch, special little way. And so she can have influence on the child in a way that the dad can or no one else can. But Satan, in commercialism, obviously wants to degrade that, wants to take it and degrade it down to something a lot less than what it is. How he would like, and he has done it in the world, in commercialism, he's reduced motherhood down just to basically where she doesn't get the honor that she deserves until it's on Mother's Day Sunday, and that's she might get some flowers and she might get a lunch or something like that. And we know Brother Ram talked about that every day should be Mother's Day, and that's true. Every day should be Mother's Day, not just some day out of the year. And you notice how that the commercialism, every holiday, the Catholic Church come along and make all these holidays, and guess what they do? They turn around and commercialize it. Because remember the scripture said the merchants of the earth became rich, right, through her. Why? Because she created all these holidays and then turn around and tie commercialism to it. It becomes the thing to do, and everybody rushes out and spends all this money on a celebrate to honor what they call, and they're getting rich through it. Yeah. Christmas, you name it, the holidays are like that. And they've done the same thing to Mother's Day. They make a big commercialism out of it. They've reduced it down to, well, I'll take my mother out to lunch and give her some flowers or something on Mother's Day, and that's it. And it doesn't do justice whatsoever to mothers just for it to be that way. And so not just commercialism, but all society, they don't look at it the way they should, and even mothers do not look at it the way they should. And so we thank God because he sent the word of God in this hour to help us know what's right about these things. So Brother Branham goes on to say in the same sermon, he says, and he's talking about the commercialism, he says, but I believe such as Mother's Day like this is a racket. I make a lot of money out of flowers and things, but Mother's Day should be every day, not to send her a bunch of flowers on Mother's Day, but to love her and care for her 365 days and nights throughout the year. But of course, the commercial world has a great hold on things like this, and it depreciates mother. You know what that means? Not appreciates, depreciates mother. And oh well, he mimics someone. Says, oh well, last Mother's Day I sent her a bunch of flowers. And Brother Ren said she'd appreciate a whole lot more just sat down and talked to her and just a little bit, or write her a line, or pat her on the shoulder and kiss her on the cheek and tell her that you love her. That'll go a lot further than all the flowers that you could buy from the florist. That's true. And so he mentions there in that they have reduced it down to something just as what you see the commercial side and all the whole Mother's Day is coming up and let's buy this for her or buy that and flowers and all that. And it's all because it's rich. They want to get rich off of these celebrations and things like that. And don't even look at it the way they really should. And I don't have a problem with taking one day and recognize it as Mother's Day. But I agree with Brother Branham, it should be 365 days a year, 365 days and nights a year. And so we thank God for the word to correct the error. So this morning I just want to kind of lay it on just a little bit thick, maybe a little bit more than I would on any other Mother's Day. And I just want to lay it on thick what mothers really ought mean to us.
Right.
We know that a godly man would appreciate a godly woman. We see that in the scriptures we just read there, that he would boast about her to Gates. In other words, when he's out doing his job, he's out working among the elders of the city, he'd be out there saying, you know what, I'll tell you how wonderful my wife is.
Right.
I'll tell you how virtuous she is. That's what the scripture said that would be a virtuous woman, that the husband would be doing that. Mm-hmm. Amen? And so I hope you sisters don't mind your husband bragging about you at work. He'd be talking about you're the best cook and the best companion and the best sweetheart.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Right.
And so what does that mean? It's a type of the church. What should the church be doing? Everywhere they go, they should be saying, you know what? I'll tell you how wonderful my Lord is, right? Mm-hmm. And vice versa. He'd be up there and make an intercession for a church, right? And be his eyes upon us, so we'd be the apple of his eye. Should be that way. But, like I said, the world reduces it down to something else. But I want to just really give honor to our sisters this morning, not just to say thank you for being what you are, but to lay such a platform that these who are mothers or the ones that will be mothers to come in the future, that it'll inspire you to do your best to be the best godly mother that you possibly can. You know, Brother Rev said, if you're going to be something, be the best that you can.
Right.
And we all fall short. We know that. But we certainly want to inspire and show the platform of what it really is to be honored as a godly mother. So, sisters, there's nobody in this world that can take your place. Did you know that? No one can take your place. Even as an individual, we know that each one of us is an individual. No one can take our place and be in instead of us. And so, you know, when Adam was, all the animals come by, there wasn't anyone found. Nobody could, no animal could match that. So God had to take from his side. And so God produced one that was the answer to his needs. And so Eve could, no one could provide that position except for Eve. And you, no one can provide what you are except for you. And so since that's the way it is, you know, that makes you, your office as mother, that makes it higher and better than a higher office than the President of the United States. I'll put it that way. Nothing about the man we have as president, but just the office. You say, well, he gets all the glory, he goes and flies around in a jet and people see him and all that. Yeah, you may not be known like he is, but what you can do, the influence that you can make is more than that man can. A dad can be the best plower of a field and not change the world. But mommy, be a good mommy, and she can turn the world upside down, right? She can change the world. But a mommy can be a bad mommy and do the same in the other direction.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So what you begin to realize now, I realize this sounds like I'm putting a lot on the shoulders of a mother, but I'm not putting on your shoulders anything God hadn't put there, but I want to show you just how important you really are and what you really mean. See? Because no matter how wonderful Jesus Christ is, if the church goes off on the wrong side, what do they produce? And no matter how righteous daddy could be, if you don't hold true to daddy's the rule of the household and you don't hold true to that, then children are going to be wayward, right? It's the way it is. So a lot rests upon there. But remember, that's where God placed it. That's where he placed it, that a man, in order for a man to reproduce himself, in order for God to reproduce himself, there had to be the female entity. And so he had to take what he is and invest what he is into that female. And when he invests into that female, what he is, he places that under the gifts and the ability that she has. And knowing that those gifts and abilities she has, she will nurture what he's given and bring forth a product by what she is. So he invests a lot in her. God invests a lot in his church to put his Holy Spirit into his church. Give her his word. He puts a lot of investment in there, expecting and knowing that she'll bring forth that which is righteous and take that which is his and not defile it.
Right.
And so it's the same thing in the natural, that a man has to believe in you. That's one thing my grandmother always told me. She said, don't ever have anything to do with a girl unless you could look at her and say, you know what, she'd be a good mother for my children.
Right.
And that's one of the best pieces of advice I ever heard. That I've ever been given. Because she's right. She knew that if I got hooked up with a bad woman, it would ruin my life.
Yeah.
But if I got a good one, it would be a blessing to me. And so, there's a lot of investment that goes in there in that way. And so you become that important. More important than a president. Because Brother Branham comes along and he says, and this is another case of having a prophet put everything in the right perspective. He said that you were the backbone of the nation. Womanhood was the backbone of any nation. Now you think about it. You take a man that's 6'6", 300 pounds, and can lift 600 pounds above his head. That may be exaggerating. But you take a man that's that strong and that big, and you take his backbone out or break his backbone, and he ain't nothing but a quivering, whimpering bunch of mess laying there. You got to have a backbone. And Brother Bam did not say man was the backbone. He said mothers. Mothers is the backbone. That if you want your nation to remain strong and be able to do things the way it should be done, it all lays on the shoulders of mothers. She is the backbone. Motherhood is the backbone of the nation, because what she, the influence she has on those youngins can go change the world. See? And I know that, sisters, when you're in the thick of the fight every day and you're fighting in the battles and the washing machine ain't cooperating, the kids are screaming and squabbling, and all these things are going on, I know you don't feel like at that moment that you're in an office higher than the President of the United States. But you are, because I will tell you something. I esteem what Brother Branham's opinion on this is higher than what the society's is. And I believe that if he said you were the backbone of the nation, that's true. Now, we know this nation is gone. We know that they're not going to come back. But your home doesn't have to be. Your home doesn't have to be gone. It can still be righteous. And it will be if you are, if you hold yourself true. The backbone of a nation. So you see the failure of a church, as I've said many times there. You have to be strong in the virtues that you are, and yet you have that tender touch. And you know, for my grandmother, as far as that was concerned, she was more mother to me than my real mother, because I spent time with her, and she held standards a little bit higher, quite a bit higher. And so she meant a whole lot to me, okay? And I won't mince words about it whatsoever. She filled that spot for me as a mother. But I'll tell you what, she'd tear the hide off of me too. She instilled virtues to me. She prayed for me. I know that I stand here today as a minister of the gospel and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that what I am today has a lot to do with the prayers that she prayed for me and what she instilled in me. I know that. And so she meant a lot to me. And we had special times together that I remember and I'll never forget, and that I cherish and wish I could go back and experience once again. And so she, though under her household, I had to toe the mark, whereas under my own mother's household, it was just kind of whatever. See, wasn't strict. But yet under my grandmother's house, it was a whole lot stricter. And yet, when I walk away from that, I'd much rather be under that environment than I would the other environment, because there was something there that was real and genuine. And so even though she loved me and took care of me, she would tan my hide when I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I remember one time we lived up on the hill, and we go down the driveway, and so it was easy to get your bicycle going really fast. And you know how kids are, they like to skid their bicycle. You know how you do? Well, I like to do that too, but the problem was I like to do it as I was skidding out into the road. And she said, "You stop that." That was something else about Grandma. And you sisters probably could take a good lesson from this. She'd tell me once. She'd tell me one time. The next time, if I didn't stop, the next time I experienced anything from her, she had a we call it a peach tree tea. I don't know where that come from, but it was, we had peach trees, and she'd get a limb off that peach tree, and that's what she'd use. My grandpa had a razor strap, but she'd use those. And sometimes she'd make you go out and cut your own limb. I've told you this before, you know, that back then, that was, you know, early 70s, I guess, or late 60s, right in there. That song that come out, "Please Help Me, I'm Falling in Love with You." Probably y'all have heard that. Some of you probably hadn't. My brother and I were out playing in the coal pile. You know what coal is? It's black. We're getting black all over. She told us to get out of the coal pile, and we didn't do it. So, you know, next thing you know, we're in deep trouble. She gets us, brings us in the house, and she says, "You're going to get a whipping because I told you to get out of the coal pile. You didn't get out of the coal pile." And she goes out there to that peach tree. It was in the backyard, just right out from your window, Aunt Mary's window. She went out there, we're watching her, and she had this certain way of peeling the limb off the tree. I mean, with purpose. We dreaded it, you know. And she come in there with that switch, you know, and she says, "I'm gonna get you because you didn't quit when I told you." But she said, "First, before I do, I'm gonna make you listen to your favorite song," because we liked that song back then. So we had to sit there and listen to that song, knowing that as soon as it was over with, we was gonna get whipping. But anyway, that may sound kind of funny, but yet, even with all that, I was happier to live in, under that environment. Because, and I said all that to say this, sisters, you have that tender touch and you have all that, but you have a responsibility to be firm too. Right? And I'm going to tell you something. It's like I've said this in the past, you know, about lunch after service, you know, and well, let's go and let's let the sisters get come out of service and go get everything ready. And to me, I'm like, no, don't pull them out of service. Let them enjoy service. When service is over with, then we can go. They can prepare the food. Because I can tell you, the brothers aren't going to leave. They're not going to run off because they didn't go early. They'll wait for the food, right? And that's what I'm saying to you mothers. Yeah, you got to be firm. The kids ain't going to go nowhere. They know what good you do for them. They're not going to run off because you're being firm, right? Because you're too precious to them. They may not tell you that most of the time, but you are. You're more precious to them, and you will be all the days of your life. And after you're long gone, those children will wish that they were able to sit and have time with you. They probably wish they could hear your voice once again. Amen. So, yeah, you're to be that special tender touch, which you naturally are, but you have to be firm too, because daddy sets in order rules to follow, and you have to abide by that. And that's what you have to teach the children. And so when the children don't line up with that, then you have to deal with it. And if it's more than you can handle, then take it to daddy. Right? That's the way you do it. So I've said many times, when daddy gets home, you'll be in trouble, right? So straighten up, because if you don't, when daddy gets home, it's going to be bad news. And so you can be that sweet mama, but you have to be firm also. Because remember, if you drop the ball, if you let down the bar, then it's coming back on you. That's why the scripture says the child left to himself will bring his mother to shame, not daddy, right? Now, that's not saying that daddy don't have responsibility. He does. But you see, when that child is coming up in the home, it's you, mother. You're the one that has the greatest influence. And I'll talk about just a few here just a moment what we're talking about. Well, we'll talk about it right now. You are the only person that gets that child as a clean slate. There's nothing written on that child's heart. It's a clean, blank board with nothing written on it when you get it, mama. Yeah. You get to write on that board. You get to influence that heart before anything else gets to come and influence that heart. See what I mean? And everything that's on that board becomes a foundation for that child's entire life. Whether they're successful or not, whether they serve God or not, it all has to do with what that foundation is that you lay. And when you go to build a house, you've got to lay a foundation first. And if that foundation is not right, I don't care what you put on top of it, it'll crumble if the foundation ain't right. And you, mommies, you're the ones that gets to lay that foundation. It's a blank slate. So if you want that child to serve God, you make sure that's what you get written on that foundation first. See? This is what, I keep saying, God invested a lot. He puts a lot of gifts there. He knows what he's doing, and he placed it right there on purpose that way, that you would get that child. And that child, when it comes from the womb, it already knows you. Right. Already knows you more than anybody else. Right? And you know it. You get a special opportunity. Now think about it. This is a church too. This is typing the church, right? The people who come to the house of God, our responsibility to nurture them and to, You know, because they're birthed in this environment. They belong to God. They're His offspring. But we are the mom. We are the parent, the female side of that, and we're to nurture them and correct them. Right? And even take them to God if they don't obey. Right? So, now you can't break the natural type and spiritual. Right. So you get that clean slate, and you can affect that child's life better than anybody else. You know? So it's a great responsibility God has given you, but He's also given you great advantage with the gifts that He put in you. And we know that. So any man would appreciate a sister, a wife, a mother that has and holds to the virtues of the gospel and instills them in her children. Anyone would love that. Now you may say, Brother Tony, I haven't done so good with that. That's okay. If you haven't done so well so far, then if you're sorry, repent of it and ask God to help you, and He will help you. He'll answer your prayer, and He will help you go forward. Amen? You believe that?
Amen.
He will help you be that godly parent. And, you know, a lot of things God happens in your life, and you think that was, you know, God has stopped each one of us from doing things wrong. And there's other things He let us go right on and do, and we suffer because of it. And so, you know, we look back and we can all say, you know, I made mistakes here with my children here. I should have done this. I didn't realize it at the time. I look back now and I realize I should have done something differently. You have to live with that. You have to go with that. But I'm telling you, that's still in God's plan. Because God uses everything to be a blessing and to teach you His program. So just repent of it and ask God to help him and be sincere, and he'll answer your prayer. And so you have a great responsibility. And to the children, I want to speak to the children just for a moment. Shame on the children that do not honor mama.
Amen.
Right? You see children, and I know this is probably the way it is, probably in every home, but you see children and daddy can say thus and thus, and they jump to it. But mommy, when daddy's not home, has a hard time getting the same results. Right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. See? Shame on you. Mother is one of the greatest gifts that God ever put in this earth for you. Because she will instill in you, she will help you. That's a gift that God, not only just to process you into this world, but remember, God said, I want Elijah Black, I'll use him for an example. I want Elijah Black to be my child and come forth into this world. And I'm going to choose Vicky, will be his mother. And my child, Elijah Black, I'm going to commit him to her. He'll be born in her womb, under her heart. He will hear her voice first, right? And whenever he's born, he'll look up the first time and it'll be her eyes that he sees. Right? He'll nurse from her. And she'll be the closest friend. And he'll be a blank slate for her. And I trust her that she will write on the heart of that child what I want on there, so that when he gets older, he'll serve me nonstop. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So he commits a lot to that. So you children, whenever you look at mommy and you want to not be obedient to her, just remember you're smacking in the face of the best gift just about that God could give you. Right there, just about. One of the greatest things that God could ever give to you is the influence of that mother on your life.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. And so you certainly don't want to be disobedient to mama. Because when you're doing that, you're actually smacking God right in the face. So she is that gift that God has given. And you know what? One of these days, Lord tarries, God will take her. God will take her home. Now, I know grown people older than me. And I bet you they'd give their life savings just about if they had any. If they could sit down and talk to mama one more time. Sit down and talk to daddy one more time. It won't last forever. Mama won't be here forever, and daddy won't be here forever if the Lord tarries. And at some point, that gift that God has put there in mommy to help you through life, and it'll be there through your entire life until God takes her, eventually that'll go. He'll take it. And then you'll be left there with those memories and with what she has instilled into your life. So we'll always be there. So respect it. When you respect mommy, you're respecting God.
Right.
If you will not obey mommy, you won't obey the church. Mm-hmm. If you're not obeying mommy and the church, you're not obeying daddy, you're not obeying God.
Right.
See what I mean? That's why the scripture said, honor thy father and thy mother that your days may be long on the earth.
Yeah.
So if you don't honor mama, you're shortening your life.
Yeah.
Right? You are. That's right. You see people who their lives are terrible because, you know, they didn't honor their parents when they were younger.
Right.
And so you certainly want to be honored to mother, because at some point God will take her from you and then you'll miss her. And that's all God's plan. It's all in his plan that way. Because it's the things we long for that leads us a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like I said, my grandmother, the things that she told me, and they're with me today. She's been gone for years. But thank God for it. And so you certainly want to honor mother and not be smacking against her leadership in your life. Even when you're a grown man, mommy should still be able to speak into your life, and so should dad. If you got an idea that you don't need to listen to mommy or daddy, you're on the wrong road. Because the day will come when you will wish you could. We just want to remember that. Because you know what, little children, if you offend mommy, if you offend her, you know, she's like engraved in the palm of your hand almost, like God said, though a mother might forget her child, he wouldn't forget us. It'd be a hard thing to make for a mother not to forget her child and not love her child. But if you offend mommy, you're in big trouble. And I said that a little while ago, because when daddy gets home, because you realize that you might not meet the mark. You might fall short of household rules. You might fall short of it. And judgment might be coming your way. But your mother might, when daddy comes home, your mother might be able to sit down and talk to dad and say, Dad, I know they missed mom, but here. And she might talk to him and cause that judgment not to be exactly what it would be without it. See what I'm saying? So when mommy's trying to get you to do your chores during the day or something like that, if you reject that and you offend her, when he comes home, she's probably going to say to him when he gets in, go in there and make your child disappear from this earth. Now, she might be the first one. She probably would be the first one after you did it. Go get him and go get my child and bring him back again, right? But that's, you know, because when I come home, my wife say, your son or your daughter did this or that. Mine? Wait a minute. You know how it is. But don't offend mommy, because when daddy comes home, she will say, no mercy. Get him. Right? Now what's the type in the shadow? In the resurrection, when they're brought before us, if we can't say something good about them, right? If we can't say, you know, because we're talking about when somebody's getting good to the bride, we're standing in judgment, and it's the end of life's day, and daddy's come home, and judgment is set. And daddy's coming in, and he says, all right, it's time to take tally about this one. Did they do their chores today? Did they do their school today? Were they respectful today? See? I mean, know what I'm talking about. You children know what, isn't that the way it is? Mommy and daddy comes in and there's a tallying up to find out what's been going on. Judgment. All we're doing is acting out just at what's natural to us. Our responsibility to watch over you, make sure that you develop properly. All we are is just doing what's going to happen in a great manner one day, when God, at the end of the day, calls people to come and stand before him. And if at that time that person has been disobedient and the church can't even say anything good for them, they're done for. See what I mean? So don't offend mommy. You respect her. You give her the honor that she deserves, because she, as I said, is one of the greatest, not just the greatest gift God could give a man, but you children There's a woman standing there, Sister Vicky, I'll say that for her children. Your mother has got a heart for you like nobody else on this earth, and she always will. And she'll be able to pray the prayer of faith for you that nobody else could, a mommy's prayer.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? You should cherish that. I've seen my wife. I've seen faith strike her heart before. And you know, when faith strikes the heart of a believing of a mommy, look out. God's going to move.
That's right.
Amen. So it's really important that you honor your mama. You'll always need them. No matter how big you, how old you get, how big you get. Brother Branham says a little bit later in the same message, he says, now I know a boy in this city, and I'm reading this because I want you to know, you'll always need your mama. I know a boy in this city, and I think his mother is present right now. He said, he's almost my age. This was in 1959. He said, he's almost my age. And he said, I don't say this to hurt the mother because she has enough hurts. As all mothers have lots of hurts. He said, but the boy drinks, and he drinks heavy. And when he gets real drunk, he will come home and jump in the bed with his mother and put his arms around her. And Brother Bram said, and he's got grandkids. He said, but there's something about just that pat of a mother that seems to take a different place than anything else can touch. That is, in this life, humanly speaking. So Brother Ram is illustrating the fact that here's this man, and he has a problem in his life, but when he gets into that state like that, the one thing that he can find that is a comfort to him is his own mama. And this man's old enough that he's got kids and grandkids. But mommy. How many remembers the story of the black colored woman in Memphis? And her boy had gone out and picked up a bad disease. But that's still my baby.
Yeah.
And that woman's faith changed that boy's life. That boy was headed to a Christless grave, dying of a venereal disease. And that mommy's faith. Right? That mommy's faith pulled an airplane out of the sky that had a prophet on it. Amen? Don't smack against mommy. Recognize that gift that is among you. Believe it and reap the benefits of it. Because God will take it someday. Amen? And when he does, if he tarries, don't you want to spend eternity with your mom? Amen. Then you live the gospel. You live and walk with the Lord like mom is trying to instill in your heart. And you'll be able to. Amen. And so there's a whole lot more that could be said about mothers. But I'm going to finish there. Amen. Wish I had more voice today. My voice was fine yesterday. I know what the deal is. Amen. Do you love your mother? Amen. Some of you's mother's already gone on, but those of you that your mother's still here, let me know, let me see that today, at least today, I know you get through the walk of life and every day in and out and things get rough and all that, and you probably can't treat your mother like mommy every day, but you should try. But at least today, for sure, heap as many blessings on your mother as you can. And make it so much that she will tell you, stop the blessings and start again tomorrow because I can't contain you more. You do whatever you can for her today and make her know that you love her. Don't just let it be flowers. Don't let it just be a gift. But you let her know that you love her. Amen. She'll appreciate that. Amen. And I know the Lord will too. And let's let the musicians come. He said, Brother Tony, I haven't always been that good mommy. Brother Tony, I haven't always treated my mommy the way I should. It's okay. Right now is a good time to ask the Lord to forgive you for that. You know what? Be good to have, good for you children to ask your mommy to forgive you. Ask Daddy to forgive you. Amen? Because the Word of God corrects the errors, and in the presence and preaching of the Word, all the evil spirits of unbelief are driven back. And right now, when you realize how much of a blessing it is to have a godly mother who cares. Listen, I read stories about mommies and leave babies in trash cans. Your mommy didn't do that to you. Right? She works night and day. And you know what? How many meals just in the last month, April, how many meals did mommy fix for you? How many times did mommy wash your clothes last month? Or all these other things. Now I want to ask you children something. You don't have to answer me, but do you like doing something over and over and over and over that you don't, you know, a chore? No, you don't. But mommy does it day in and day out, and she doesn't complain. See what I mean? So you give honor to your mama. Amen. Today's a good time. Right now is a good time for you to say, Lord, help me. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time today. Lord, just to talk about mothers and the gift that you put among us. And Lord, I realize it is the days of our chores and our task of just going about from day to day. It causes us to forget. And sometimes it's the people that's closest to us that does the most for us are the ones that Lord, we're the harshest toward when things are rough. And I realize that mothers, they get the brunt of that a lot of times. But I'm asking God today that you would give the mothers in this assembly, Lord, that you would lift their hearts up and help them to realize that they have a place of dignity, a dignified position in the kingdom of heaven where heaven looks upon them and they sees the desire that they have and the efforts they put forth for their household to be godly and to walk in the ways of the Lord. To lift their hearts today, Lord, as they would go from this place and have a renewed sense of purpose in life and to realize that her footsteps are full of grace and the walk that she walks is ordained of God. And I ask God that you would help our young people, the children, that Lord, that they would reverence mommy in the capacity that they should. Lord, to recognize that that is a gift. And Lord, that as with any gift of God, it finds its place. It goes right to the place it's to be. And when you sent mommy to this earth, it was for that child. Help that child to get a revelation of this, that to fall into the channel of the Word of God, to follow the patterns that you have and what you put in place, Lord, that their life can blossom under the leadership and love of mommy. We ask God that you teach the children how to be obedient, more obedient, and to appreciate mommy. I ask God that you'd help this assembly, Lord, in every way that you even always honor our sisters, Lord, to recognize what they are and to thank you for them daily. We love you, Lord, and we just ask that you would help them now. Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand.
Good night.
joyful to you. Before you leave, mothers, see my wife at the back. We have a little something for you back there. Just a way of saying thank you for what you are. Because believe it or not, this assembly is a better assembly because of godly mamas. Amen. That's the way it is. So we thank you. May the Lord richly bless you today as you go. May you enjoy this day. And may the words that have been said this morning just be an inspiration to you. Amen. God bless you.
The Lord.